Hey, yo, and here we go. It's We Talk Fantasy Football, WTFF, back on the air. Show number 3 of the 2012 season. This one will be known as Are You Worried? Because basically what we're going to do is we're going to take one of our leagues that we were in fantasy, Fuzzy's Fantasy Football, and I'm going to be looking at the guys drafted, kind of guys that were drafted to be starters or near starters. In the first 8 rounds or so, I've picked out about 16 guys that for award-winning, well, maybe not award-winning, championship-winning for sure, the analyst Brett to give his opinion on. Brett, how are you doing?
I'm not too bad. Doing all right so far.
Doing all right so far. Okay, so
Hopefully I'm not worried, at least.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. So let's start off here. Drafted in the in this league, if pick number 6 in the first round, Darren McFadden. So far, game number 1, 32 rush yards, 13 receiving yards, or 13 receptions for 86 receiving yards. Because of the receptions, he did well. But this last game, 22 rush yards and two receptions for 19 yards. One game inflated stats, one game just terrible stats. If you own Darren McFadden, are you worried?
And I do in some leagues, but so far I'm a little concerned. It's because he's adjusting to a system that he's never really excelled in. He's not really that. I don't think he's perfect for Greg Knapp's system, and I think that it could be a concern down the road. He's obviously a really super talented back, and I hope that he picks it up. But you know, there is definitely a concern in my mind.
He was my I thought he was the best back when healthy in the league coming into the season, but man, those are bad numbers.
Well, and there are the Raiders. I mean, they don't have a lot of good.
No kidding. All right, let's move on to another guy. Chris Johnson picked one pick after him, 1-7. His first game, he rushed 4 yards for, and he caught 6 passes for 47. This last game, he rushed for 17 yards, so he got 4 times as many yards. But he had two receptions for 11 yards. So technically worse overall. If you own Chris Johnson, took him in the first round, are you worried?
Oh, I'm petrified if I took Chris Johnson in the first round. I mean, we're on record as saying that we don't expect much of anything out of Chris Johnson. And honestly, he's proving that, he's actually looking worse than we anticipated. Like, we expected a 1,000-yard running back. Right now, he's not even on pace for 500. So, I mean, that's a big, giant concern. And that offense just isn't very good. And people wasted high picks on him. People were actually picking him, in a lot of cases, higher than Darren McFadden. So, do you have to be worried? I mean, I never picked him. You never picked him.
Well, it's because I always said I wouldn't pick him before the third or fourth round.
Yeah, exactly. And absolutely, I would be petrified.
Now, part of this is obviously the quarterback play has Locker has a nice completion percentage, but he's been very inconsistent. Is there any chance that Johnson's going to turn it around, or even if he does turn it around, he's not going to turn it around to be worth a first round pick?
Well, in my opinion, he doesn't turn it around to be worth a first round pick, but there's no question. Like, any player, like, he's proven that he's done it before. He's done amazing things before. But like we talked about, I think that the 2,000-yard season is the anomaly and not the norm.
All right, then. Well, let's move on to the next guy here. Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald in this league drafted 2-1. I believe that was a fantastic team by the name of Straight Jacket Alcohol, whose owners I think are terrific guys.
I think they're super smart.
Yeah, exactly. Super duper. But Larry Fitzgerald, so far in the first game, he had 4 receptions for 63 yards, and he had 1 reception for 4 yards in the second game. Pretty poor numbers we're seeing here. So in your opinion, if you own – and to me it's largely based on fear. I mean, that team's 2-0, but fear of the quarterback play. Are you worried?
I'm not really that worried. Larry Fitzgerald has played through horrible quarterbacking before. Derek Anderson, you can't get much worse than Derek Anderson. And And he's dealt with it, and he's made it through. Now, I think one of the keys to last week's game was the fact that the Patriots game plan to take him out of the action, and the Patriots are pretty good at game planning to take people out of the action. And they didn't win. It didn't help their offense any. But I'm not that worried about Larry Fitzgerald. Don't get me wrong. I wish that Fitzy had a great quarterback again.
Yeah, if only Kurt Warner was still throwing to him, right?
Yeah, I mean,
can you imagine what his career would have been? His career numbers would have been if he had that guy throwing to him his entire career.
Yeah, I mean, he got compared to Jerry Rice, but I mean, you talk about like he could have beaten Jerry Rice if he had a great quarterback.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And you know what else? What worries me though is no TDs in the first two games, and based on that offense and that quarterbacking, even if he starts to get his targets and gets completions, I'm not sure how many TDs he gets.
No, he may only like he may not hit the top five, which will be a concern. But could have been worse, you know. I mean, as long as he gets close to 100 receptions and 1,200 yards, then he should still be okay.
All right. Well, Matthew Stafford in Fuzzies was picked in this league in second round, the sixth pick. In the first game, he had 200, he had a lot of passing yards in the first game, 355, but only one TD and three interceptions.
Garbage time.
Yeah, exactly, garbage time. And the second, and they did win that game in the last second TD. If it wasn't for that last second TD. Second game against San Francisco, 230 pass yards, one TD, one interception. Matthew Stafford, are you worried?
Yeah, I'm actually kind of worried. I've been a long time fan of Stafford in fantasy, but the main concern, it's not so much that I'm concerned about Stafford's talent. I'm concerned about the play calling. I watched some of their game, and the play calling is disastrously bad. It's first down. We better run. You don't have a running back, guys. Why are you trying to run? You have Calvin Johnson, on the other hand, and you can throw to him all the time. So I don't understand why they're not just, you know, mixing things up more. And for me, that, you know, they're putting Stafford in a horrible place for this year. So, yeah, I would be concerned.
Yeah, but, I mean, just the stats, even though just the stats alone, I mean, they're poor. 585 yards, two TDs, four picks. I mean, that's not just the play calling.
Oh, no, it's not. I mean, Stafford could. I mean, he might have an off year. I still believe
he doesn't
in
have
his talent,
other than but. Calvin Johnson. I mean, with Titus Young not emerging, Burleson being an older player without much of explosiveness, smooth player but not much explosiveness. Pettigrew being a great target machine with great chemistry but not a great talent or great physical specimen. Kevin Smith, a below average running back. I worry based on that. But Brad, I'll tell you this: San Francisco in week two. I mean, maybe it's too early. I mean, San Francisco could make Joe Montana and Jerry Rice, this San Francisco team, probably look poor on defense. They're a fine team.
Oh, they're an awesome team. They're awesome.
Okay, Ryan Matthews. Now, the reason I have him on here is he's 2 weeks in and he hasn't played yet. Likely to play in week three. But why I'm wondering if you would be worried about him is because it looked like that was going to be a heavy run offense. And now without him, they had to take to the air the first two games. And Phillip Rivers has looked great. They're 2-0. And I wonder if they're going to change their game plan. So based on the position he was drafted in more than anything else, which in this league, let's see, we had him 2-8 he went. If for Ryan Matthews, are you at all worried?
No, because I think that he's the kind of guy, he's going to get virtually all of the carries. He's probably going to get a number of the third down reps. And I think that even if Phillip Rivers continues to throw, he'll probably wind up using Matthews as a check down every now and then. And overall, if it's working, like that team is actually looking pretty good so far. So Matthews will definitely get wear out the clock carries. There's going to be enough stuff. If Matthews plays super good, then Matthews is going to get the rock, and that's just the way it works.
All right, so Steven Jackson was taken second round, 10th pick, game number one against Detroit, 53 rush yards and four receptions for 31 yards. in this league, being a PPR then, 12.4 points. 58 rush yards against Washington. No receptions at all. Of course, no TDs in two games, so 5.8 points. And again, on a team that's starting to look more like a pass team based on Bradford's emerging confidence and chemistry and perhaps surprising skill at his receiver position with some of these players. What do you think? Are you worried about Steven Jackson?
I am a little worried about Steven Jackson. I'm really worried about his offensive line. I mean, that offensive line is really injured, and Steven Jackson is not the dynamic, quite the dynamic playmaker that he used to be, where it didn't necessarily matter what his offensive line looked like because he was able to just zip around it. And so I think that there's a little bit of concern there, and may want to look at grabbing Darrell Richardson to set him in there with him.
Yeah, I think that's another reason to be worried about him is there appears to be this kid who looks hungry, looks explosive, running behind him. I mean, you know, he's Steven Jackson, but you start to wonder. And Steven Jackson isn't as old as people probably think either. That's really the thing. Just there's a lot of wear on those tires, though.
Oh, he's been playing for a long time, yep.
Now, speaking of a lot of wear on those tires, picked one pick after him, and an even worse pick, even though Jackson hasn't been great, Michael Turner. 32 yards in the first game, 3.2 points. 42 yards and one TD and one reception for, I believe, 0 yards in the second game. Are you worried?
Well, I'm not worried because I didn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. I mean, it took the guy three kicks at the cat to get the one-yard touchdown. He's done. His goose is cooked right there, you know. He's not really useful in that offense. He's going to be drunk, you know, maybe before the game next time. And for me, I'm not worried. But for everybody else out there who has Michael Turner, I'd be worried.
Well, yeah, obviously getting a DUI this morning, that's not a good sign either for a player. Just a player that you have worries about. You don't want to see that type of off-field activity. Pardon me?
Yeah, on that offense, no way.
No.
No way.
Exactly. Now, that said, Jaquise Rogers hasn't looked great yet either.
No, but, you know, who knows? That could be one of those teams, like you talk about a team that could move to a passing offense. Well, they are stuck in the passing offense, and maybe they'll never hit a running offense again this season.
Hey, now the next guy we want to talk about here is picked a second pick in the third round by a team who I love watching lose. I'm not a fan of them. Fred Jackson. And Fred Jackson is almost unfair. He had a great preseason, looked terrific, but he got hurt. And the reason he's on there is, well, you picked him 3-2, and the guy behind him was picked about four rounds later, and doesn't look to me like he's going to give up the position. So if you have Fred Jackson and you drafted him early third round to be your running back one or two, are you worried?
Well, if I drafted him to be my running back one, then yeah, I mean, like, I'm virtually writing off the season at that point. Running back two, if I have a great running back three and some talent in the 4 or 5 slot, then maybe I'm okay with it. But, you know, C.J. Spiller looks like the real deal. And even though I think Fred Jackson is a strong running back, he's older and he's looking to be injury prone. So, yeah, that could be a real panic situation.
In this league, that guy who has Fred Jackson, same guy who has Michael Turner. Needless to say, he's 0-2, folks.
Yeah, not doing so hot.
Yeah, if you had taken Jackson, you should have handcuffed him with Spiller. This guy didn't handcuff a single one of his running backs. But again, I don't mind because I'm not fond of the dude. So that does make it a little bit easier. Another guy here, Wes Welker, picked a couple picks after that, 3-4. Obviously, this is a 12-team league, just mentioned that. First game, he had 3 receptions for 14 yards, not very good. Second week here, much better, 5 receptions for 95 yards. But it's more about kind of the feeling, the general feeling that his coach is just going away from him and not pleased with his act and Edelman starting over him and that type of thing. So his stats, though, in the second game, certainly very fine. and Hernandez is not there to take any targets. So if you own Wes Welker and you draft him in the third round, are you worried?
I mean, third round seems a little high, and Julian Edelman's usage is concerning for those who own Wes Welker. But I think that, you know, unless he's your number one receiver, then you're probably okay with him, because with Hernandez out for a while, then Welker should get some more looks. And he's ultimately just too talented to really keep off the field. But I still think it's his last season in New England.
Yeah, and I predicted earlier, I'm not even sure he'll finish the season in New England. So
yeah.
Jamal Charles. Picked one pick after that, 3-5. Jamal Charles, first game, 87 rush yards, no receptions. Second game, 3 rush yards, 3 receptions for 19 yards. So he's averaging about 7 points a game. Third round, running back, running likely your RB2. Is this an anomaly, or are you worried?
A tad concerned because he came off the injury. I mean, I hear that his knee was acting up a little bit, and they held him out basically because they were getting blown out and it just wouldn't have solved any issues.
Yeah, he could have gone if he had to, right?
Yeah. And I hear that he'll play in week 3. So he's going to take another couple of weeks to really be worried, but there's a tad bit of concern in there.
Now, what about the fact that the guy behind him, though, is basically in a time split anyways and outperforming him even when healthy, and that's Hillis. Who would have been taken again about 4 or 5 rounds later.
Well, I mean, I wish I had Hillis, you know, and I like Hillis, but he's also kind of a head case, also has enough of his own injury problems. So I think that they want to run the football a lot because, hey, Matt Castle can't throw the football.
Dwayne Bowe still puts up numbers. It's amazing.
Well, anybody, I could throw to Matt or to Dwayne Bowe. I mean,
yeah, that's true. And here's another one. I really don't know. Speaking of head cases, I really don't know what to make of this guy. Brandon Marshall, game number 1, 9 receptions, 119 yards, and a TD against Indianapolis. You're like, okay, it's him and Cutler. They're back together. Game number 2, 2 receptions for 24 yards against the Packers. Any worries with him?
Well, the Pack shut him down. And Jay Cutler looked like the poop. So
the offensive line also looked like the poop.
Yeah.
As bad as Cutler was, they would have been all over any quarterback because they were just destroying that offensive line.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Their offensive line has long been a trouble spot because they refuse to do a good job of upgrading it. And Jay Cutler behind a crappy offensive line, well, he's a real gunslinger. And usually it doesn't matter, and he gets a bunch of balls to Brandon Marshall anyways. I mean, Brandon Marshall could drop 9 balls, and he could still catch 11 because he's going to be targeted 20 times.
Yeah, no, there's something to that. I mean, I am worried just because, I mean, yes, I'm worried to a degree about him because Cutler's so bloody inconsistent that, that'll make, Marshall inconsistent. That said, at the end of the season, you'll probably end up having good stats, but for the season total.
That's what I think.
So, that's all right. Well, we're online. That means you're a smart guy. Brandon Lloyd. Brandon Lloyd has, I think, people were a little bit hesitant as to hedging their bets as to what to expect from him this year. You heard everything from wide receiver 3 to wide receiver 1. In this round, fifth round, third pick. Game number 1, 5 for 69. Game number 2, 8 for 60. No TDs, not getting any looks in the end zone. No real chemistry with Brady yet. And yet, not horrid numbers, just not spectacular. Are you worried about Brandon Lloyd?
Nope, not in the least. He'll totally pick it up. In a PPR, he's still really good. He's a talented receiver in a system that he knows very well. Once the chemistry comes through a little bit more and he winds up being the bigger part of the game plan, then, bless you, then he will absolutely be fine.
That wasn't me. Was that you?
That was the cat.
Oh, there's our mascot.
That's right.
I'm just noticing here Peyton Hillis drafted at the end of the fifth round, so 2.5 rounds later. It might end up being the better value, but that's not as bad as Spiller, as we say still. Miles Austin, sixth-round fifth pick, likely drafted as somebody's running or wide receiver too. Now, he's had good stats, even though Tony Romo has had one terrific game and one terrible game. 4 receptions for 73 yards and a TD in the game number one. 5 receptions, 63 yards, and a TD in game number two. Got exactly 17.3 points in this PPR league in both games. Terrific wide receiver numbers. Those are wide receiver number one numbers. The question then is, Mo, why are you putting him in to the Are You Worried? And it's because of his hamstring. He was on IV fluids towards the end of that last game based on the fact that his hamstring was bothering him again. And he's been fragile in the past. So hearing that about his, about being the IV and the hamstring, are you worried?
Well, the hamstring is always a main concern, especially when you're talking about a wide receiver. He absolutely has wide receiver one talent. So there's no question. But as a general rule, we avoided him because of the injury concerns. He's a great receiver, but he's got massive injury concerns. And, I mean, I don't think that's a bad place to have picked him up. But it's tough to lose a guy, and if you do, well, you got to be ready for it.
Yeah, the only reason he drops as far as he drops is because people are worried about his health. Based on his talent, no chance that ever would have happened, right?
He's a number two or round number two, three wide receiver if he's always healthy.
Yeah, exactly. And Beanie Wells, another guy taken by that same team who's struggling. And drafted in the seventh round, pick number two, 1,000-yard rusher last year. Game number one, 14 yards. Game number two, 44 yards and one reception for 24 yards. He's looked poor. The guy running behind him in a timeshare now, Ryan Williams, also looked poor. Bad offensive line, but his team is 2-0, and his coach has not given up on him. So are you worried?
Well, not really. I mean, bad offensive line, bad quarterback, great defense, tough teams that they're playing against. I'd be worried if he was my running back one or two. You know, as long as he's on the bench, then I'm not so worried.
Okay. And Robert Meacham here taking the seventh round, the sixth pick. Robert Meacham kind of is seen by a lot of people as a sleeper. There was hope that he would finish as a high wide receiver too. His team has had a really good passing offense. And we talk about how Rivers is absolutely surprised. In the first game, he caught 2 catches for 49 yards, nothing spectacular. Second game, he threw up a goose egg in both everywhere. And this despite, like we say, Rivers' success and the fact that Antonio Gates wasn't in there. Michael Floyd's kind of stealing some of the thunder. Is he going to – he's new to the team. It's early in the season. Robert Meacham, are you worried?
Well, I'm surprised that Malcolm Floyd has dominated as he has. I'm a little concerned about Meacham because he's never been a consistent receiver, even when he had Drew frickin' Brees throwing to him.
Yeah, but there was so much talent there that it was, you know, tough to get the targets, especially with Colson stealing a lot of them.
Yeah, for sure, but he had his chance and he never really took it. But he's got his chance here, and I'm certainly willing to give him. You know, he's going to stay on my roster, you know, those couple of times when I have him, until at least like middle of the season to see if he can pull it together. But if he doesn't pull it together, then I got to cut bait.
All right, so that's pretty much it, and it seems like the basic. Thing, you know, the overview here is these 16 players is the majority of them. You're saying yes, you should be worried.
Yeah, I'm. There's a lot more players that I'm worried about than I thought, actually.
Okay, and last thing then, any waiver moves that you're thinking people should be, any players you're thinking people should be picking up this week? This is a bit of a shortened version. We're kind of up against the clock this week, so we're just kind of get your thoughts on that.
Well, I think that I don't know that many people came out. I mean, it's not like you're going to jump on Dante Rosario, even though he had 3 touchdowns. I mean, that's insane, but he's not going to play that much. If you do need a tight end, Martellus Bennett looked really good. Definitely Brent Celek looked really good. There was another couple of guys who kind of came through.
What is it,
Pitta? Pitta.
Pitta, that's it.
Yeah.
Pitta.
Yeah, Pitta. Pitta's getting a lot of targets.
A lot of targets, so
he's
very
attractive. And with Hernandez out, then there's going to be some people. And Fred Davis is Fred Davis worries the crap out of me because that guy's not getting any looks, and that team's not necessarily getting any better.
No, that's true. That's true.
And so, you know, he's worrying me. So there could be some need for tight ends coming out. Daryl Richardson, that seventh rounder in St. Louis.
That hungry, explosive player behind Steven Jackson.
Yep.
Definitely. And Steven Jackson, not Isaiah Pede, been times in the past where Steven Jackson has gotten hurt. So another reason to do it, to look at him there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, wide receivers, Ogletree didn't pan out in week two like we predicted.
Neither did Hill.
So, yeah. I mean, James Jones wasn't very good for the people who jumped on him. I say Randall Cobb is the interesting guy to own out of that because at least he's going to give you some guaranteed
points.
That is
two games in a row that Brandon Gibson's put up 50 yards and a TD. So, I mean, he's almost out there almost everywhere. So, I mean, people can look into that.
Yeah, big concern though. Only on 8 targets, so he's not a target monster.
He's not. That's not his role on the team. There's another target monster there.
If Amendola's available, then jump.
Yeah, I doubt he is, but I do like Gibson just based on the fact that Bradford's looking so good that if he's throwing 280 yards a game and 30 TDs this year, then Gibson will get his.
If you're desperate, absolutely, then jump on Brandon Gibson. You know, as far as quarterbacks go, while a guy that's probably on there that plays for the best team in the NFL, the San Francisco 49ers, you can do a lot worse right now than Alex Smith.
Getting beyond the game manager label,
he's just playing the role that he's asked to play to perfection, and he's killing.
Would it be crazy to say at this point? I mean, obviously Aaron Rodgers is a great player. Could you conceive that Alex Smith wins more Super Bowls than Aaron Rodgers?
You know what? I mean, because of the fact that the 49ers are so good, but, you know, I'll have to believe it when I'll have to.
I'm not
to
saying
have a look
he will.
It.
I'm just saying, is it even conceivable?
Right now, no.
Okay. I'll talk to you at the end of the season about that one.
Oh, absolutely. If the 49ers take the Super Bowl, then yes.
Or even just as the playoffs begin. All right, folks, yeah. I think that's about it. I'm Mo, M-O, at We Talk Podcast, Mo_WeTalk. There's no E in my name. If you want to get a hold of me or follow me on Twitter, that would be awesome. And Brett, what about you? Any last words and plugs?
Well, Brett, that's Brett_WeTalk. Haven't been on very much, but
when are you?
You never know with me. Brett@WeTalkPodcast.com. You know, feel free to email if you've got any questions or if you've got any or burning desires to tell me how wrong I am. And otherwise, I'm certain that you can call us out.
That's right. And remember, we'll see you.
And we'll beat you.
That's right. Or OUT.